That's right.
What up?
What up? Rentfree1310@gmail.com is the address if you want to share with us. Let us know what lives in your head rent-free. And Monty says, hey, I have something, so we turn it over to Justin.
Thank you very much. This one has been something that my brother and I have been saying back and forth now for the last few weeks. Now, this is from Tim Robinson's I Think You Should Leave. This is the clip, the Pay It Forward clip, where if you haven't seen it, I'm going to play a little bit of it here. I can't play the whole thing because it's over 2 minutes, but he's in line at a drive-thru. He's like, hey, let me start a Pay It Forward. I'll pay for the person behind me. Who knows? Yeah. Maybe it'll catch on. So he pays for it, and then he immediately drives back around into the drive-thru, and we pick it up there as he's ordering all this food, hoping the guy in front of him will pay for it.
Stop! 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 Please let me go! Please let me go first! I'm doing something!
How can I take your order?
55 burgers, 55 fries, 55 tacos, 55 pies, 55 cokes, 100 tater tots, 100 pizzas, 100 tenders, 100 meatballs, 100 coffees, 55 wings, 55 shakes, 55 pancakes, 55 pasta, 55 peppers, and 155 taters!
Okay, that'll
be $680.
Okay. Hey! Hey, come on, what the hell's going on up there?
Not paying it.
You have to! The guy did it for you!
You're the guy!
Oh, just do it, you're rich!
What?
Hey, what the hell's going on up there?
This guy's trying to start a pay it forward chain.
And then the lady behind him starts trying to get on the action, but the part where he goes, I'm not doing it, and he screams, you have to.
You have to!
So now anytime my brother and I are talking to him, one of us has to do the other thing, and they don't do it.
You have to!
You have to!
The funniest part of that to me is when he's done with the order and the lady knows exactly how much it is right away. It's not like calculating
it. Oh, and
it.
She's keeping up.
Oh, okay, yeah. Just
exactly
keeping
on
up
the order.
Right.
And honestly, yeah, it sounds like a pretty good deal.
$680.
Yeah, for that's
all
not
that.
Bad.
A pretty, yeah, a nice variety at this restaurant where he's getting meatballs.
Pancakes and pasta.
Pancakes.
100 coffees.
And then we also love this one, too.
Just do it. You're rich. What?
Just do it. You're rich.
Well, you should use that for Corby.
For the hard line. Just do it. You're rich. Yeah, have that as a drop.
Oh, man. That's good. All right. So,
is there a limit for stuff you can buy at a fast food restaurant? Like, if you actually tried to place that order?
No, but if there's people behind you, don't be a D.
Yeah.
Like, if you have a large order, you should go inside.
For sure.
Agreed.
But will they just be like, no, we're not making all that?
They probably don't have all that.
That's true.
Let's go to, before we get to the P1s, let's go to our coworker. This is from Stars pre, intermission, and postgame host and part-time ticker man, Michael Dixon.
Mm. He goes, Mariners fan.
He is. He goes, hi, sweet spot. First time, long time. Today at the gym, Hysteria by Def Leppard came on. Music like this should suck. Everything about it should suck. Hair metal generally sucks. The live version that came on had some dude in his 60s running around on stage with no shirt on. All dudes on stage look like they're tried to hop in a time machine back to the 80s. And yet, most everything I've heard from Def Leppard is awesome. Hysteria, Photograph, Animal, just to pin a few. I realize I'm naming mostly hits, but no matter what, I always think Def Leppard is badass, and they stand out among a lot of really bad rock music in the 80s. So Def Leppard and their general badassery lives rent-free in my head.
Okay. I mean, it's...
And for a guy like Michael who's into Goose and Widespread...
Rush...
Rush.
Fish.
Yeah.
He's a huge Fish fan. Okay, so I respect that he's branching out from his Fish music. And I've always said music is subjective. I'm not going to knock you if you like something that I don't like. But it's, I don't know, this is just kind of not for me.
Sounds to me that Michael Dixon would enjoy a gentleman's establishment if he likes Def
Leppard
so much. Throw on a little Animal. Pay a couple.
It is so much strip club music.
A couple dances. Well, thank you, Michael. I appreciate that.
I'm glad Def Leppard is in your head rent-free.
Yes.
Now it's going to be stuck in my head.
All right, let's go to P1 Mitch. Mitch says, and this, again, this is from like March. So we have a backlog and I want to get to all these that we can.
So send us more.
Yes.
So exactly. We won't get to them.
He goes, okay. Your opening segment today regarding Mavs hurts. Never going away made me think about something that's been living rent free in my head lately. It's not some major revelation, but it's a Cowboys adjacent thought. It's the idea that every negative outcome for the Cowboys ultimately gets traced back to Jerry. When you have a gutting loss, a losing streak, a losing season, or another early playoff exit, the fans, media, etc., will frustratingly discuss the players and the coaches, but ultimately the conversation always ends up at the feet of Jerry. For an unfathomable 30 years, Jerry has been the beginning and end of all Cowboys woes, and that's very relevant to what we're talking about this week on the show. I fear that now with the Mavs, we're always going to be blaming Nico. Every losing streak, every missed playoffs, first-round exit will always be tracked back to Nico. This season, next season, 5 years from now, 30 years from now, every conversation will end with Nico trading away Luka full stop. Yeah. It will never go away, never not hurt, no matter what. Sad P1 Mitch. Now, this, of course, is before they won the draft lottery and got Cooper. But last night at the Ranger game, some jackass behind home plate was chanting fire Nico every chance he got, and... Okay.
Like, we've heard it.
I like it when like a number of people do it. It lets me know that a bunch of people are mad, but this guy was pretty annoying. So much so, Dave Raymond even had to call him out on the telecast.
But yeah, with this, I mean, it's going to always be the what if with this team. If they lose if they make the playoffs this year and they lose in the first round, it's going to be like, all right, yeah, but what if you had Luka? What if he was on this thing? Like the only thing that would kind of quiet that down is if they win a title with Cooper Flagg, and Cooper Flagg is like an MVP before Luka is,
and if
that's not going to happen.
And if he doesn't meet expectations, then yeah.
Oh my gosh.
People decades from now will all be saying, what if about Luka and Nico?
Like if Cooper Flagg is just an average NBA player, it's going to be, oh yeah, he sucks. It's all Nico's fault.
Even if he's like Leitner. Not to make
parallel. I mean, a journeyman. Yeah.
I mean, Leitner was a good pro.
He was fine.
All right, not to harp on Nico too much. Let's go to Darren. Darren says, keepers of the sweet spot, got another one for you. There's an ad for Huddle House running on the station. Every time I hear it, I hear, hurry ya house. It was a vocal bumble by Donnie Dew that Ham turned into an R&B jam. It doesn't get played nearly enough, but it's a banger, P1 Darren. So I ask Ham, I don't believe you put this together, did you?
Yes, this was not me or Tyler. I think this was AI done by Gordo.
Okay.
But he's referring to this drop.
Your house.
What was your house. What was he trying to say there?
Live spot, I want to say. And he just had
hear your house. Hear your house.
Hear your house.
Hear your house.
Your house.
All right.
Come to hear your house.
Hear your house.
I do remember the song they got, the beat they got put to that, and it was pretty good.
And how 2025 of a sentence is, I think it was AI made by Gordon.
Yeah.
So day we live in now.
less AI. All right, let's go to P1 Dave. He goes, hey guys, something that lives rent-free in my head is when you and the other host say something like, just kill me, and then you play the Dr. Dow audio, implying that he's saying, just kill me, just kill me, just kill me. It is, in this listener's opinion, that he's actually saying, they kill me, they kill me, they kill me.
Ooh, he had just Mondegreen.
He had been drugged off the plane and beaten. That's why he's saying they kill me. It bothers me that you guys play it for the wrong reason, and even more so when I know it's coming. If I'm wrong, I apologize, and I'll leave you alone. Stay sweet, Dave. And I think I know that he said just they kill me. I just think it's very childish of a doctor to, one, have to be drugged off a plane, and even though he's bleeding, he has to repeat this like he's wrong in the head. Go ahead and fire this up.
Kill me. Relax. Kill me. Go on. Kill me. Just kill me. Kill me. Kill me.
I think he says it both ways.
Yeah,
I think he says they kill me.
At one point,
just
he definitely says just kill me.
Yeah.
Kill me. Kill me. Go on. Kill me. Just kill me. Kill me. Kill me.
He sounds like at the end of a Little League baseball game when they're shaking hands and saying, good game, good game, good game. He's just going down the line, and he's not saying good game. He's just, you kill me? Kill me?
I never said that when I was shaking hands with Little Leaguers.
Just what did you say?
Oh, use a good game.
Use a good game, yeah.
Just kill me?
The Cats, B-A, Friday.
Good game, Justin.
Kill me. Kill me.
Oh, great drop. All right, let's go to Mike. The missus turned me onto the ticket in 2005, and these phrases live rent-free in my head. Every time my wife says, I read, I reply with my best Michael Irvin impression, oh, you had a read. In addition, my wife used to take school pictures for a living on snow days, and on snow days, we'd have to listen to the morning news to find out which schools were closed, mm-hmm. which would, of course, make me think of Michael Irvin saying, closed. And two longtime P1s from the Grove and Mesquite, so he says, aw, skeet, skeet. FYI, I remember when there was only one high school, Mike B.
Mm-hmm.
It feels
Old
like
Mesquite
get a,
High School.
We get a lot of Michael Irvin drop that lives rent-free, be it you had a read. The closed thing, I don't know how many of those we get. Probably one a week.
Yeah, the word closed, anytime you say it, you hear it in Michael Irvin voice in your head every single time.
Yep.
You had a read, that was 2010, I want to say. It was when he was talking to Jesse Holly, when Jesse Holly made the team.
Mr. Fourth and Long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you had a read.
Oh, you had a read.
P1 Chencho emails. He goes, hello, Sweet Spot. After the recent WNBA dildo throwing, all I've been thinking about is a way to somehow tie this into picks with friends. Loser has to carry a bright green dill everywhere they go for a whole week. Bobber Jub would be hilarious. Chencho.
Can you just walk into an establishment with one?
I don't.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Like, no big deal, huh?
True.
No, the dill was pretty big.
So to speak.
You just have one stuck on the side of your chair. It's just always flopping around.
Put it in your spokes like a baseball card.
Set it down on the chair across from you.
Yeah. Well, one of the handlebars on my chair was broke.
Yeah.
So you gotta get creative.
When in a pinch.
Anything for your date, sir? Oh, all right. This is finally P1 Eugene, who plays the saxophone. He says, Eugene here, old sax guy. You know I'm a longtime P1, but you may not know that when Captain and Camille, bassist Josh Hambone Hammond, and drummer Matt Trimble, who are also big-time listeners, they often talk to each other in ticket bits when on stage. One of my favorite things is when there's a lull between tunes on stage. One of us, usually me, will half-mutter, somebody go, followed quickly by one of the other two saying, God Almighty. It's almost like a Pavlov's dog reaction at this point. It probably happens more than it should, but it never fails to make us all laugh. Love you, boys. And by the way, there's always a large P1 presence at our Barley House shows.
Absolutely.
Rock on, Eugene. And this is from Expo at a charity challenge practice, I want to say, from maybe the late 90s. Mm. And as far as old classic ticket audio, this one's pretty good.
Somebody go!
Somebody go!
Somebody go! God Almighty!
And then every time I hear that, I just automatically say, I'm sure everybody knows I've been hanging around Dallas a little bit. Because we used to play that every single day in Why Today Doesn't Suck before right. Spare Birthdays. Yeah. God, I haven't heard that one in a while.
Expo used to have a lot of anger.
So I've heard. I don't think I've ever met... I've seen him at Stars Game before.
Oh, you've
before.
Never met Expo?
I've met him at... Just kind of in passing. I've never really hung out with him. I never worked with him.
Oh, he's the best. Level Expo, Kevin Fox.